The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
It's 7:45. Anthony Reich, good morning. How are you?
Boker Tov. Yes, I've had my my prickles out over a subject which really isn't the topic of our conversation, however, but I'm going to raise it anyway. I know we've got this mantra of hashtag you don't have to be Jewish, but we do discuss Jewish-related topics. And I just wonder what you think about this BBC debate about whether Jews are an ethnic minority group or not. I think that there was this debate that went on the BBC, which has caused some outrage. Four non-Jews, apparently panelists with a Jewish representative, discussing the issue of whether Jews can consider to be an ethnic minority. Now, my first reaction is, why would I care? Why is it important to label Jews as an ethnic minority? And the answer apparently is that there are certain laws which protect ethnic minorities. And so the question is whether Jews can avail themselves of those laws, whether they're entitled to protection under those laws, and whether they are an ethnic minority as opposed to potentially just a religious group. So I'm just throwing that open. And for people who wish to see the debate, it is available on YouTube. It's worth watching. But really, some crazy things going on there.
I found it very strange, and much like you, I hardly care whether Jews are classified as an ethnic minority or not. I understand that in some places it might be relevant. To me, it really isn't. That said, it did remind me of the whole discussion around the Jewish problem. It had that kind of feeling to me that, you know, there was this BBC discussion around the Jewish problem. That's what I felt about it. I'd love to hear what listeners think. Do you think it's important to classify Jews either as an ethnic minority or not? If you do think it's important, are we? Would you say that we are an ethnic minority? And did you see the debate? Did you hear about it? What are your thoughts on that? It is a very interesting conversation.
I would go even further than that to say, is this something that we even really need to discuss? Is this something that's relevant for public discussion? Because, of course, there is a lot of sensitivity around anti-Semitic feelings right now. And I think you're right. I mean, you know, the so-called Jewish problem debate, that's more or less the feelings that I had. This is going to be something that could potentially raise the subject up in a way that it just doesn't need to be raised up right now. There's certain things that are a fact of life that you don't necessarily have to keep talking about. They don't have to be brought to the attention constantly for people to form strong views one way or the other. I mean, you can just be Jewish and friendly and going about your daily business without people having to constantly think, oh, he is the Jewish person, right. And I need to think about that constantly.
I also think that it's quite funny is there seems to be this notion that we need to have an opinion on every subject. Sometimes we just don't. I know that sometimes
Jews have to have at least two opinions.
I find it so funny because when I think about when I'm asked a question that I don't actually have a firm view on, people will say it's unbelievable how you're sitting on the fence on this one. Sometimes I just don't have a view, or I see both sides of it and I haven't quite landed as to what I think about something. You know, it can be that. We don't have to be so clear. Sometimes I envy people who have such clarity on every subject. I spend my life in turmoil, I guess. It is a fascinating thing, and I'd love listeners' thoughts. 34519 or 0618951019. Let's talk about airports. It was very, very, there was a moment of real celebration in my house as my son is waiting to go on an Israel program, and it was announced that airports are opening. Not that we really fully understand what it means for non-Israelis.
Right. So at the moment, the plan is really surrounding Israelis rather than foreigners coming in and leaving Israel. And it really all focuses around those people who are vaccinated more than anything else. The plan at the moment is that the airport will reopen during the course of next week. There are a number of cities which have already been approved on the list of those that Israelis with vaccinations can travel to. Cities include New York, Paris, Frankfurt, Kiev, possibly London, not sure yet. But also those are the cities from which Israelis are currently being repatriated to come home. And the idea is that if you have been vaccinated, then you would be free to travel to and from those locations, traveling between Ben Gurion Airport and those particular cities. You will still need to have a negative test before you leave and a negative test upon your arrival, and you will still be required to go into isolation. So all of those rules still apply, but now it's all about certainly you need to go into isolation, into quarantine when you return to Israel. I'm not quite sure about what the rules are when you arrive at the foreign destination. And there are a number of other countries on the list that are set to join, apparently, including Greece, Romania, Georgia, Serbia, and interestingly enough, the Seychelles. And they've announced that they will allow vaccinated Israelis to cross into their borders as soon as their skies open up. There are some other countries, there are a number of countries that have similar policies in their airports. I think South Africa happens to be one of those. It's not clear at the moment what that means for non-Israelis. And by the way, for Israelis, there is a limit on the number of Israelis who can come into Israel without the special permission if you've been vaccinated. If you have not been vaccinated, you will still need to get special permission to travel along with all of those tests and isolations and electronic bracelets and things like that that will be required upon your arrival here. But if you have been vaccinated already, then you don't need the special permission. And the limit is set at 3,000 Israelis each day who will be allowed to enter the country without special permission. At the moment, nothing has been said about non-Israelis. And I think that, you know, it's one step at a time at the moment. I think there is just a desire to see how this particular stage of the process goes, whether this moves ahead smoothly. There is a lot of concern about foreign variants being brought into Israel, which are potentially not going to be protected by the vaccinations, the Pfizer vaccinations that many Israelis have already received. And so this is all about tying in the those people who've been vaccinated and making sure that that vaccination program is as watertight as possible in terms of what it protects people against. And the moment there is a possibility that other variants may be resistant to the vaccination, obviously the government will be very, very sensitive to that. Apparently, 660 extra police officers have been assigned to police people who are in quarantine to make sure that they adhere to the rules, that they have their electronic bracelets on, that they don't move around, that they adhere to all quarantine rules. So, there seems to be quite a level of seriousness about making sure that this is implemented accurately, correctly, according to the rules, and is made to work, because Israel does need to open its borders for a number of different reasons. Yeah. There are numerous Israelis who are stranded abroad, people who would like to come home to vote in the election. Currently, they are unable to do so. There is no possible way for Israelis who are not in Israel to vote in the election. The election is only less than 3 weeks away now. So there are quite a number of people who would like to come home, if only just to be able to vote in the election. And at the moment, that possibility is very remote indeed. It's very, very difficult, even for people who've been stranded abroad with their home base and families in Israel, to return back. So I think that for foreigners, you need to kind of hold your horses just for now. Let's see how this stage goes over the next week or two or three. My suspicion is that if this goes according to plan, that there may well be a next stage, which I'm suspecting may only be after Pesach, about foreigners potentially coming in. Yeah. Obviously, there will be very, very stringent quarantine requirements and tests and all the rest of it. But I can see the light now in the household of the Feldman family about the possibility of travel to Israel. Right.
And of course, it's quite difficult, because if Israel doesn't open up to foreigners at least 2 weeks before Passover, then there's a problem in any event, because to quarantine over that period is going to be very difficult in Israel. So that's why I tend to agree with you that it might be straight after rather than before.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, let's remember that, you know, we've got Pesach, and then straight after Pesach, we have Yom HaTzma'ut. And after Yom HaTzma'ut, we, of course, have Lag BaOmer, and we have Shavuot. So we have a whole series of holidays coming up, which could potentially be a source of people gathering together and potentially infecting each other. So we're into a period now which is relatively sensitive and needs to be managed quite carefully.
Right, just going back to the discussion about minorities, whether Jews are ethnic minorities or not, Jenny says, I think it's very important to have the status of ethnic minority. It's the first step in government protecting the Jewish populations amongst other minorities, which is the point that you did raise, Anthony. And Janine says, I'm not Jewish, I am a Jew. That's why I'm part of an ethnic group that our numbers are small makes us a minority. And Benjamin says, Howard, what Jewish problem? In my humble opinion, the problem belongs to and is part of anti-Semites, always trying to create an issue to justify their twisted view on life. So those are some of your opinions. Further government protection is being considered for Israelis who might be under threat of prosecution by the International Criminal Court. Why is this necessary now, Anthony?
Well, I mean, this has been an issue for quite some time because, as we know, there have been these numerous attempts to bring war crimes charges against Israel for various Gaza operations, for various actions that have taken place. And we've, of course, discussed that numerous times before. The name of the International Criminal Court prosecutor, very much closely associated in the name of Fatou Bensouda, who now will be completing her term as the prosecutor and will be handing over the reins later this year to a new prosecutor who we don't know enough about in order to draw any opinions. But certainly there have been a lot of attempts to bring charges against Israel and therefore against Israelis in the International Criminal Court. And it was interesting that this has been raised now because Defense Minister Benny Gantz also is currently acting as Justice Minister. He took over that role towards the end of December. And he made a comment when he told Reuters that he estimates that hundreds of Israeli citizens may be subject in the near future to war crimes probes by the International Criminal Court. And of course, he himself, as being a former Chief of General Staff of the IDF, is also on that list personally. And he himself has actually fought a case in the Netherlands, which he successfully managed to defend against a war crimes charges that were brought against him. So he knows what it's like to have to deal with this. And he thinks that because of the increased interest that we're finding at the International Criminal Court, and we discussed the recent ruling by that court against Israel, that it may be necessary to protect Israelis in the future, particularly people when they travel abroad, that they might be arrested, that they might be charged under any provisions that the International Criminal Court, any jurisdiction that the International Criminal Court might have in various countries around the world. And we've seen quite a few times when Israeli government ministers have been told not to disembark a plane. We had Tzipi Livni at one stage was on a plane at Heathrow Airport and told not to get off the plane because she risked being arrested as soon as she got off the plane on war crimes charges. We've also seen, by the way, former South Africans who've been senior members of the IDF. I know one in particular who was a senior officer in the justice, in the legal department of the IDF, came to visit South Africa and had to rush back to Israel because there was a potential threat that he would be arrested by the South African authorities on various charges. So this has become a very, very serious and sensitive issue. And it seems as if the Benny Gantz himself is quite sensitive to it and is offering Israeli governmental protection to those people who might be subject to this kind of case. The Israeli government in general doesn't seem to be at one with the position. Other members of the government are saying that they don't see it as being a big issue right now, but certainly this is something which is always on the horizon and we need to be very cautious about.
Absolutely, we do, and it's the consequences are very, very significant if one thinks about it. The fact that Israel demands that its citizens are conscripted to the army and serve in the army, it means that it has a much higher obligation, I believe, to protect the freedom and the bias or possible criminal charges when they travel. It is 8 o'clock, Anthony Reich. Unfortunately, we do need to leave it there. Fascinating conversation. As always, we'll catch you tomorrow morning, same time, same place.
Chai FM, your station of choice since 2008.